Welcome to our show. Before we start, did you know that you could support our show by pushing the patron button at our website, thebillshow.net? You'll be helping us pay the bills and continue to provide you with what we do every fortnight. Political insights and progressive news, including some of the most recent clips from the U.S. political scene. Just click patron at thebillshow.net, and for the cost of a cappuccino a month, you can help us maintain our show. Thanks. Now on with the show.
Doing, I know it's not.
What?
I feel like running up the steps of the town hall in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, da da da. Every time I hear the opening of this show, you know, I want to start punching sides of beef. Like, come here, Helen. Come here, Helen.
Leave your wife alone. Leave your wife alone.
She's not even here, but I thought that would be funny.
I'll call your wife a side of beef.
How are you?
I'm okay, Randy.
Not a side. She's the whole beef.
She's the whole beef. Your wife is one of the. She is a saint. She
so
is a
yours.
Saint. Yes, I know.
We're both married. We're both married as saints, and we're both devils.
Yeah. Speak for yourself. I'm a very nice person.
No. How are you, Willie? I missed you.
I've missed you too. We're doing these what a week now. How does it feel?
Well, we're doing these little like
short shows.
Sort of sleek, meaner and leaner bill shows.
Leaner and meaner bill show. That was basically
like,
it.
They're like Willie shows. You know, like they're not.
That sounds a bit dirty, Randy. But
we're always talking about the pee-pee video, so now we're talking about the Willie show.
Anything you and I might say on this show can never be as obscene as the Trump presidency so far. But it has been an amazing week with all the stuff that's gone on. We have nothing to do except dive into another episode, ladies and gentlemen, of Twilight Zone. Here it is.
This is a song about being happy. That's right. It's the happy, happy, joy, joy song.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th President of the United States. Donald Trump, President of the United States. Donald Trump, President of the United States. Donald Trump, Donald Trump, President of the United States.
Let's say China.
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 Now it's time for the next episode of Donald Trump, American President.
China.
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 Yes, we've entered into another dimension. It is the Donald.
Imagine this.
It's the alternative universe that you found yourself living in. We had some really incredible news. The Trump White House, ladies and gentlemen, is shaking to its core. First of all, Trump came up with a fantastic idea of accusing the ex-president of wiretapping his phone, which everybody, including the other Republicans in the Congress and the Senate, have said, you know something? That's bullshit.
Prove it, yeah.
Prove it.
It's not his phone. It's wiretapping the entire skyscraper.
I love the fact that Obama's
just... It's the whole Trump Tower.
Every time you see Obama during this entire thing about Trump just just like a child accusing him of tapping his phone, you get a picture of Obama smiling with a drink in his hand. Or he's dancing. Or
rolling his eyes. Rolling his eyes, saying,
whatever, motherfucker, whatever.
I'm out of there. I dropped my mic. You can go and get fucked. Yes.
See, I could just see him sitting there going, honey, do you know what he said about me today? And I don't know why.
But everybody has said, prove it. Prove it.
I think Obama, as he goes into retirement, will sound more and more like Samuel L. Jackson.
Come on, motherfucker.
That's right. Yes, I think that he should get his black on.
Yeah.
Okay. At 6:35, this is from the New York Times. Less than 40 minutes into a hearing that they were having with James Comey. You know, remember the guy who leaked that
Hillary's emails.
Well, James, I think maybe trying not to go to hell. Less than 40 minutes into a hearing, James Comey, the director of the FBI, provided the latest official confirmation that the Russian story is not, and never has been, fake news. Ladies and gentlemen, what this show has been talking about since June of last year, it is rather the most serious legal scandal to confront a sitting president in nearly two decades. In an extraordinary public statement, Comey disclosed that not only that the Bureau is investigating Russian meddling in the campaign, but that it is also looking at that relationship the Trump campaign may have had to that meddling, and they have been investigating. Now, we first talked about this when the David Korn article came out in last June. Mm-hmm. Last June, we said it on this show that there was really suspicious stuff coming out and more than enough corroborated evidence to suspect that the Russians were in league with Trump. Yeah. We did that June last year.
It's Pravda. It's Pravda.
In July.
Yeah.
In July, they started investigating, which means to me that in July last year, before the election, Comey knew this guy might have ties to Russia, and he didn't say anything about that.
Yeah,
he only said something about that middle-aged woman who's that old woman who's running around in the forest now. You know, Comey is Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, God, this guy really has a lot to answer for. It is rather the most serious. I'll keep going with this article. It's incredible. The FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, I'm not going to touch that one, investigating.
I don't want counterintelligence. I just want intelligence. How about some intelligence, Mr. Comey?
That's right. The FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere with the 2016 presidential election. No shit, Sherlock. And that includes investigating. I'll tell you, man. Can you imagine, like, one of those 70s shows like Columbo where Comey tries to solve a crime? It would go on forever, and you'd never find out about it. This week, you can lead
what about what was the guy that with the fake eye? What was his name? Peter Falk.
Columbo. Peter Falk.
Is that Columbo?
Or Banachek or whatever.
Yeah. What was the guy with the Tootsie Rolls? Tully Savalas. Kolchak.
Okay, 2016 election. They're thinking there might be some Russian involvement. No shit, Sherlock. And that includes investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government, whether there was any coordination between them. Now, this is the head of the FBI. It's not fake news at all. And then he went on to say this. Comey calmly delivered yet another damaging quote for the White House. Asked if he could confirm Trump's tweet of March 4th, you know, when he couldn't sleep at 3 a.m. and he had a great idea. Melania, come here.
She won't sleep with him anymore. That was in the paper today.
Melania, blow up Melania.
She won't sleep with him in the same bed anymore.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that came out today.
I'm doing a comedy bit, okay? So just go with it. They're supposed to be sleeping together. It's like, Melania, I have a fantastic idea. I'll accuse Obama of tapping my phone. That'll be fantastic. Whatever, Donald, whatever. Why hasn't the Xanax taken effect? Really? Seriously? That's when he does all this shit. Asked if he could confirm Trump's tweets of March 4th that President Obama took steps to tap my phones, T-A-P-P. I can't spell tap because I was up late and the medication is still on. During that election, Comey said, I have no information that supports those tweets. No shit!
Because
why have they not taken the fucking phone away from him?
He's cray cray.
He should not be allowed to do them.
He should not, listen.
It's government by Twitter.
Baby, you know, the longer this comes in, and every now and then I listen to some asshole on MSNBC or CNN go, you know, it's part of Trump's master plan of diversion. I'm sitting there going, you don't understand. This guy should not be allowed near power tools. Seriously, I wouldn't let him plug in a fucking blender. He is under so much pressure right now. The daughter, Ivanka, or the
guy. She's moved into the White House.
Yeah. It's like, well, we know Melania is not sleeping in the same bed. No, that's awful. But Ivanka evidently is the only person that could actually talk to Trumpy.
Yeah, and because she's now he gets got a paid position in the White House.
No, it's not paid. No, she has no official role.
No, it is. Oh, you it is? You think anybody in his family would do anything for free?
For money.
Ivanka Trump got a job in the White House as a top advisor in an unnamed position. The law position, is pretty clear
on this. The position is the nurse
there
in one flew.
There is an the position
she's. The position she's got, Randy, is the nurse in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, nurse rat shit, yeah.
She handles the medication.
Since Teddy Kennedy has there been such terrible nepotism.
Yes.
Now there's so many Trumps now, and what's her husband's name? Working in the White House. Working in the White House in paid positions. Contrary to law.
Yeah, but I wouldn't compare this with the Kennedy administration.
Well, no, but Teddy Kennedy was a brother. I mean,
what I'm saying is that, you know, I mean, the only thing that Ivanka is actually qualified to do is calm daddy down. I mean, it's not like Robert Kennedy didn't have any experience to be
Attorney General.
Attorney General. He had experience doing that. Ivanka has experience in costume jewelry, okay?
Melania does costume jewelry.
Oh, Melania, all right.
Ivanka does shoes and dresses.
Ah, well, that definitely. She's qualified.
Imported from China.
As we're talking about jobs, there is the next story here that you gave me just before we went on air. This to me, kids, come on in. Kids, Bill Show kids,
oh,
come on
Joe
in.
Hey.
I want you to.
Look who's there.
There he is. There's Goofy and there's a little redheaded kid. Yeah, and that girl back there with peanut butter all over her nose. Yeah, okay, kids, hold on, because I got a story that Randy gave me that to me was the funniest thing I've heard all day. Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State and chief and head of Exxon. Revealed in his first interview. This has got to go down really great at the White House. Revealed in his first interview since taking office that initially he didn't want the job.
Join the queue.
This is it. I didn't want this job. I didn't seek this job. When an aide asked him why he accepted the position anyway, he responded, this thing he told me that kills me. My wife told me I'm supposed to do this.
Oh,
now, as I was saying, there is a wife who really hates her husband.
Hey, Bill.
What?
Willie, your memory's better than mine. Yeah. What was that witch, that Harridan, who was married to, was it the Secretary of State under Nixon? No, that was Kissinger.
Oh, Margaret Mitchell.
Margaret Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is a Margaret Mitchell moment.
She had a mouth on her.
She was like, have a drink, and she'd have a cigarette in one hand. And go, Nixon's an asshole. Where's the next cocktail party? She'd be at the inauguration, you know?
What was Mitchell's job? Was he?
He was Attorney General.
Attorney General. That,
yeah.
But she was terrible.
Anyway,
she said horrible.
We are going off into a field that only half of our listeners understand because
they weren't born.
That's right. So let me just say, he said, my wife told
Val will remember young Greg Val from Glen Falls.
Hey, short shows. Shut up. Let me get through the thing.
Talked to you in a week. I want to catch up.
My wife told me I'm supposed to do this, the former ExxonMobil CEO said, that when then-President-elect Donald Trump requested a meeting with him in December, in his first ever meeting, Tillerson was under the impression that they would discuss issues about the world and his experience at Exxon. When he asked me at the end of that conversation to be Secretary of State, I was stunned. Oh, boy, my life is going to suck.
Vladimir likes your lips. Vladimir likes your...
Get this. This is my favorite. My favorite sentence here. It's so Jewish. It really is. It's like, I was supposed to retire in March this month. Oy. I was going to go to the ranch and be with my grandkids. Now I'm doing this shit. My wife convinced me she was right. I'm supposed to do this. Empty the garbage. Yes, dear. Become Secretary of State. Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Well, it's because she wants to hold all those balls in Washington.
I think
she's got the wrong idea what kind of balls she's going to be holding.
Yeah, but Rex Tillerson and the guys there are supposed to be such alpha males. And the idea that this guy did it because his wife
told him. But they're pussy whipped, yeah.
Yes, right. Okay. Which brings us to our next little story on this part of the show. A little bit about our good friend, Paul Manafort. Yes, Paul Manafort.
The guy from the missing Ukraine millions.
Yes, the missing Ukraine millions. Yeah. Paul Manafort evidently has been revealed to have had now extensive ties to Ruski.
So much
as that in 2005, on Wednesday, the Associated Press reported that the former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, crafted a plan in 2005, a presentation, to influence American politics for a Russian billionaire aligned with, wait for it, kids, Russian President Vladimir Putin! No! Oh, how did you know? And Sean Spicer was on his podium, you know, which I refer to as kind of a cross, which he deeply, deeply needs to be made to suffer. And he had to try to minimize the influence of Manafort in the campaign. And here's what he said. This is priceless. Here it is.
General Flynn.
Right.
But again,
and
I'm not aware of any at this time, but even General Flynn was a volunteer of the campaign. And then obviously there's been discussion of Paul Manafort, who played a very limited role for a very limited amount of time. But
he was your campaign manager when you won the nomination. Dude, it wasn't limited.
It was a limited time. Limited time.
And he's talking about Flynn like he bumped into him on the street, you know, in the subway. Flynn was not a volunteer. He didn't have acne, and he wasn't standing outside one of your rallies handing out buttons. He was your national security advisor.
That's it.
He was a volunteer. He was like one of the volunteers you see with the placards. Handing out the leaflets down the street.
That's it.
That you try to avoid around election time. That's Michael Flynn. The illustrious General Michael Flynn that Trump loved so much has now been demoted to that of a campaign volunteer.
I bet he wishes he was still in the Army.
Yeah, we're one step away from the time in which these guys go, I don't know of any Manafort or Flynn at all. You know,
he was disappear. Here just so quickly, we didn't even get to know his name.
I have no idea who he was. I've never seen him before. This leads to the last little story for my bit here. You know, Donald Trump, God bless his little heart.
40, this is calling 45. Everybody just calls 45. Him 45 now.
45.
45.
Which is pretty much what you want to put to your head when you realize that he's president. But here it is. This came out of the Washington Post, is sourced by the Washington Post. The president is 70 years old.
Yeah.
70.
70.
So he's kind of old. And I'd say kind of cranky. You know, because I'm 58, and I'm old and cranky. Imagine 70. But here it is. Since becoming president, Donald Trump has acted out during the early morning and late night hours when his son-in-law is not present to monitor his behavior in the White House.
Is that what he does?
Okay. It has been suggested that Trump's behavior worsens when Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump are observing the Jewish Sabbath. Why? Yeah. Why? We don't know. We don't know.
Oh, they have to.
At those moments, Trump has accosted his enemies, complained about reality TV programs, lied in order to distract the public and news media from his numerous scandals, and in a new low, accused his immediate predecessor in office of ordering illegal wiretaps without evidence. The Washington Post reported on the boiling anger that apparently fueled Trump's conduct over the weekend at his winter White House.
What?
He's not just there in the winter. He's there every time. You gotta go.
Corona Del Mar.
Mar-a-Lago. Xanadu.
Yeah.
You know. Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida, where the sun sparkles off the glistening lawn and warms the russet clay Spanish tiles, and the steaks are cooked just the way he seemed to like them. Well done. And Trump has been mad. Oh, that's why Ivanka has been summoned to the White House. Because... Trumpy boy, he's crazy, you know. And he was mad.
I think he's got distemper. He's got distemper.
I think he does. I think he's raging at the moon. Trump's young presidency has existed in a perpetual state of chaos, the article says. The issue of Russia has distracted from what was meant to be his most triumphant moment, his address last Tuesday to a joint session of Congress, where everybody was sitting there going, you know what? He might have changed. And now his latest unfounded accusation that Barack Obama tapped his phones has been denied by former president.
No, tapped his tower.
Tapped his tower. When Trump ran into Christopher Ruddy on the golf course later at dinner on Saturday after after the wiretappings were basically denied by his fellow Republicans, he vented to his friend, "This will be investigated. It will all come out. I will be proven right." And Ruddy said he was pissed. The chief executive of Newsmax, a conservative media company, "I have never seen him this angry. This is not an isolated event. Since Trump defeated Hillary Clinton in November's presidential election, there have been numerous reports about his unmanageable anger." Who saw that one coming? He is raged. Well, he has raged at aides, summoned up conspiratorial machinations about his enemies, and generally been unpredictable, arbitrary, mercurial, sometimes filling important roles in his administration, based on criteria such as physical appearance. Based on his behavior, policies, and other actions, it is abundantly clear that Trump is an authoritarian demagogue with fascistic tendencies. Under such a regime, the public and the news media have become conditioned to monitoring the great leader's moods. This is a survival strategy. The leader's unpredictable emotions also serve as a way for the regime to create confusion among its members of the public. And this was interesting what the article said. And this teaches them to cower in fear and also to be jubilant and relieved when the leader behaves with some degree of normalcy or decorum.
Jubilant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are also behaviors of people who abuse their intimate partners and other family members. And let me just tell you.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is such a good point.
Can I just interject here?
You go. Then I'll chime in.
Okay. After a report shortly after the inauguration that Melania Trump was miserable in her White House role,
New
details have emerged about the sleeping habits of the president and the first lady.
Oh, God.
According to a new U.S. Weekly report, multiple insiders claim the first lady refuses to share a bed with her husband, even when they are in the same location. One family source says Melania does not keep hidden from anyone around how miserable she is. And if you look at her body language, I think it speaks volumes.
We said it during the primary.
Yeah.
And I said, I sat there saying, remember when I sat there?
A lot of makeup.
Remember when I sat there and I said, look, I'm not doing Melania anymore. We're not doing any more Melania drugs. We're going to cut down on it.
No slut shaming for Melania.
Well, no, she's not a slut. I tell you, man, she is a battered wife. And yeah. Barron is the most miserable-looking poor kid I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, do you see how tall he's gotten in the last couple of months?
Yeah.
And he's nearly as tall as she is. Okay, now, there is some discrepancy between the source accounts. One source claims they have separate bedrooms.
Yeah.
And another says they never spend the night together ever. Melania.
You cannot pay Melania me enough money.
Yeah, Melania wants as little to do with Donald as possible. She's not interested in Donald, the presidency, or anything involving him. Since assuming the role as first lady, she's played host to the wives of foreign leaders, but that's it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Donald surprised a whole bunch of primary school kids on a White House tour and took them around.
Yeah.
I would have been freaked out by that.
See, you got to understand something, man. We said it last year. We said it before anyone else. You know, we were talking about this. You go back. We were talking about this. He's a nutcase.
Yeah.
He's a crazed nutcase, and he's a bully. And he always has been. He was back. He was a bully back in the 80s.
Everything he says is just bully tactics.
And this is a guy who, I mean, remember the allegation that was made against him?
The 13-year-old?
At Jeffrey Epstein's parties. I mean, this is a guy that was actively accused and put on tape of more or less manhandling women and assaulting and sexually...
Pussy grabbing women.
To the point in which there was a woman who literally was going to sue him for... Yeah. Raping a 13-year-old child. Now, this was never proven, but strangely enough, when he became president, this girl
has gone away.
Now, I'm not saying that's true, but...
They're all feeding the fishes in the Delaware Sound.
I'm saying that basically she's got out of Dodge real quick. And I remember when she called off the thing because the person handling the case was a former MSNBC legal correspondent, and she had a meeting, and the girl was supposed to go to the meeting to say that they'd called off the suit, and she was literally cowering in her apartment and refused to come because of the death threats that she had received from so many of the Trumpsters,
The Trumpleadites.
Anyway, I should get off my podium right now. So you.
Oh, Bill, no.
Yes.
I like listening to you.
Yes, but we're going to keep it under an hour. So we're going to be back.
Oh, all right.
We're going to be back in 1 minute, folks.
We're going to do some comedy. We're going to have some comedy now.
Right, comedy, and then Randy's Rant for show 173.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates.
Now, here comes the music.
When I grow up, I will be president and build big walls, ban Muslims, play with Putin's balls, grab pussies off the lady grown-ups. And when I grow up, I'll be press secretary of this land and lie about sizes of crowds and hands, ignore climate change till Earth is blown up.
And when I grow up, I will be chief strategist so I can put my Breitbart fist inside my puppet's inside bits.
And I will wake up to see Tweety wrote at 4 a.m. that I will then have to defend.
But I won't care cause I'll be all grown up
when I
care, replace it with, well, I don't care. If you choose to be sick, you should just suck it up. Suck it up.
And pay paternity from mums. Let damaged people buy more guns.
Yeah! And I will stand up. Claim the New York Times is fake. That wiretapping comes with ease. Yeah, it'll be a breeze, cause I'll be all grown up.
When I grow up.
When I grow up.
Just because you find that I am super thick, my supporters will support because I'm not a chick. Even if my policies are psychopathic, they're gonna be huge.
Just because I find myself in this story, in the next election you can change it for me. If you think the ending is fixed already, you might as well be saying you think that we're okay. And that's not right. And if it's not right, you have to set it right. Cause nobody else is gonna put it right for me. Nobody but us is gonna change this story. Sometimes you have to be a little bit naughty.
Ladies and gentlemen, Abigail Spencer, Tim Minchin, Ben Platt. We'll be right back, everybody.
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Let's all gather round. And now, folks.
Oh, let's all gather round. Okay, sorry. Can I just back announce that bit
Please
of comedy
do.
Music?
Please do.
Now, I don't know what planet or rock you've been under if you don't know the musical Matilda by Australia's favorite son, Tim Minchin. Yeah, he's a great guy. Now, when Donald Trump was elected in November, Tim Minchin, who often does comedy satire, as he did with, you remember here in Australia, we had a lot of...
There's a guy named Archbishop Pell.
Pell, yeah, molesting children. Anyway, okay, what he said was, Trump's presidency is going to be beyond parody. I'll talk to you in 4 years. But then again, he seems to have changed his mind. So on this week's episode of The Late Late Show with James Corden, Minchin appeared in Donald the Musical, which was basically a rewriting of that wonderful song from Matilda, When I Grow Up.
Yeah.
It had, he was playing Trump. Corden played Steve Bannon, and he was great. You should see it on YouTube if you can.
Yeah, check it out, man.
Abigail Spencer, who is a favorite of this show, played Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah.
And Ben Platt, a comedian, played Sean Spicer. And it is just brilliant. You heard a lot of the humor in the voices and the lyrics, which is Minchin's forte, but I just thought there's some great...
James Corden is starting to get really good.
His karaoke in the car stuff, you know, his musicals in the crosswalk. A lot of these, because he is a music theater star, he won the Tony Award for The Gentleman, what was it called?
Servant of the Masters.
Yeah,
based on Servant of the Master. It's wonderful for
it's
a tragic rant. Like us, because we're both theater tragics. Okay, ahead. What's your rant, Randy?
My rant is...
Yes.
We don't have a commander-in-chief for the last 10 weeks.
Yes.
America has had a golfer in chief.
I know.
As much as they try to tell us that he's on the job, he is fucking down at Key Largo, whatever it is,
Xanadu,
playing golf,
yeah,
and not getting any from Melania.
No.
Okay. I want you to hear, in his own words,
yeah,
what he said in the middle of last year.
Yes, about
oft,
Obama.
Oft quoted.
Yeah.
Oft quoted. But here it is in his own words.
Oh, I love it. Okay, here it is. Randy's Rant 173, golfer in chief.
I promise you, I will not be taking very long vacations if I take them at all. There's no time for vacation. We're not going to be big on vacation. You know, there's so many things. It's sort of interesting, Chris. The White House is like this incredible place, right? It represents so much. And you're there for a limited period of time. If you're at the White House and you have so much work to do, why do you fly? So why do you leave so much? Why? You know, you think you'd want to work, straighten it out, get it done, fix it up, make it great. And then when you finish, you can be proud. But boy, are we a mess.
Paging irony.
Boy, are we a mess. 10 weeks, $3 million a pop to get that jumbo jet down there. And everybody in Key Largo fucking hates him.
Well, he's such a sack of shit, this guy. He's such a sack of shit. You know, because he went on about Obama, you know, taking breaks.
He's, who had one holiday in six months.
Remember this one? I love this one. Remember, it's like, she has no stamina. So it's like, this guy takes a vacation before he takes his shit.
It was two days after the inauguration, he had his first holiday down there. And then every weekend, he's down at Key Largo.
I take that back.
One weekend, he went to Virginia.
Yeah.
To a country club he owns there.
And now what's pathetic is that he's either golfing or he's out on one of these phony campaign tours to boost his childlike ego.
The one he went to Louisville.
Yeah.
How much do you love me?
Tell me how much you love me. No one loves me in Washington. I don't know why.
And he's only been in office for a month and a half. Yes. Okay.
Millennia. See, they love me. Okay. They won't. They'll sleep with me. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got two people that run interference for him.
Oh.
One is that hag, Kellyanne Conway, who doesn't look like she's washed her hair in a month.
Yeah.
What a drowned rat. And the other is Sean Spicer.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately this week, one of the reporters, probably one that's been banned from the press room forever, asked the question, what's with all this golf? I thought he wasn't going to play golf.
Okay.
And here's what Sean Spicer said.
Sean, on a slightly different topic, in his first 8 weeks in office, President Trump has made at least 10 trips to the golf course. He regularly used to criticize President Obama for spending time on the course. How is his golf game any different?
Well, I think two things. One is you saw him utilize this as an opportunity with Prime Minister Abe to help foster deeper relationships in Southeast Asia, and have a growing relationship that's going to help U.S. interests. How you use the game of golf is something that he's talked about. Secondly, you know, we went to he had a mini cabinet meeting the other day two weekends ago, down at his club in Virginia, and I remember so many people jumping to the conclusion that he's going down and playing golf. Just because you go somewhere doesn't necessarily mean you get it. So on a couple occasions, he's actually conducted meetings there. He's actually had phone calls. So just because he heads there doesn't mean that's what's happening.
I know he did meet with Prime Minister Abe on the course, but we're not getting a lot of details on other high-level meetings that are taking place. If he is having these productive meetings on the course, why isn't the president and his aides being a little more forthcoming about what
it's the same reason that he can have dinner or lunch with somebody, and not because I think the president's entitled to a bit of privacy at some point, where we bring that, which is what we've always agreed to. We bring the press, the protective pool, to be there, but the president's, you know, also entitled to a bit of privacy as well.
Yes, he's been inviting foreign diplomats to play games with him. I understand Canada's Prime Minister Trudeau will be playing Trivial Pursuit with him and Ivanka sometime soon.
He's playing golf. He's not having meetings.
He's playing Twister. He's playing Twister with the Mexican president in the gold room.
Nobody will. Trudeau thinks he's a total fuckwit.
Well, Trudeau is one of the many who are just sitting there. Did you see Merkel talking?
Yeah, and he wouldn't shake her hand.
Did you see that look?
She's everybody's grandma.
Shake her head.
She's everybody's grandma. She's a lovely woman. East German science professor. Before the wall came down, and
she's got no tits.
Yeah, she's not doing anything for me. I can't grab that pussy. It's just too.
She'll break it off, Donald. That's why Angela Merkel will break off your fucking hand.
She's looking at him, and he won't shake her hand.
Well, that's right.
He's just
there's certain names that Don doesn't do well. But let me tell you something, Donald. Angela Merkel is one tough lady, and if you tried any of that stuff with her, she'd rip it off.
But she was really
she'd
good
make
friends.
You eat it.
She was really good friends with, George W. Bush. They got on really well. She was really good friends with Obama.
I don't
Obama,
see a chemistry.
They got on really well. The only chemistry with, Donald Trump is a shit.
Yeah, it's like Angela Merkel, her expressions toward Donald Trump in that moment, it's kind of like the worst blind date.
Yeah.
You ever be in a restaurant and you look over and it's like, these people are not getting
on.
She
looks like she's just got a really bad taste in her mouth, you know? She had a really bad piece of sauerkraut. Yeah.
And Melania is in New York going, I know, honey, I know. He's an asshole. You had another one,
didn't
you?
Well, I've got my lovely religious nut job of the week.
I love
doing religious nut job of the week because there's always one everywhere.
Okay.
Play it.
Just play it. Play it cold. Okay, this is Randy's nut job of the week for 173. Here it is. Actually, it's a tinfoil yarmulke. Oh, I've got the wrong one. Okay, all right. This is the nut job of the week. Here it is.
I read a testimony today about an owner of a bar who was gay, and this is crazy. Now, I'm not saying this is going to work for you, but some hookers that were in his bar got saved. And they got saved because one of the guys who used to hang out there got saved, and they baked a cake for the owner of the bar, who was gay and very adamantly anti-Christian, and they basically prayed over the cake. It was an anointed cake, and they made the cake and gave it as a gift. And when he ate the cake, I know this is strange. This is Ed Silvoso's testimony. It's not mine. The power of God hit him while he was eating the cake. And he went back to the guy at the bar and that had given it to him, that he knew got religion. And he said, what the heck? He said, I had a weird experience eating your cake. And he said, well, that was the presence of God. He ends up leading the guy to the Lord and baptizes him. And when he gets baptized, the guy gets delivered. And the spirit that was working him got broken off.
The spirit that was working him, that was making him gay, got broken off.
So let me get this straight. There's an anti-gay cake.
Anti-gay cake. Yeah. Let them eat cake and
can I have that a la mode?
And it saves hookers too. It saves hookers and gay people. What a cake.
You know, I had some cake, and then suddenly I didn't like musical comedy. I don't know why.
I don't want any of that cake.
I don't want any of that cake. I don't want any of that cake.
I just can't believe that people say this kind of shit. An anointed cake. It's not only having an imaginary friend, but you also have imaginary cake.
You have imaginary anointed anti-gay cake. New from Hostess.
Yeah. It's an anti-Twinkie. It's the
it's
anti
like a Twinkie.
Twinkie.
It's the anti-Twinkie cake.
What's an anti-Twinkie cake?
that'll take the cream out of your Twinkie.
Oh, really?
I went there.
When I was back in America,
yeah.
I don't think they have these in the East, because I was there just before you were there. They had deep-fried Twinkies. But Jesus actually, Christ, man. You don't go buy them somewhere.
If
they're
you
in the
find,
freezer cabinet.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. If you find yourself, all right, because there's a lot of guns in America. Look, if you find yourself going out and buying deep-fried Twinkies or deep-fried Mars bars, get a gun and blow your head off. It saves time. Seriously, man, this is really just like you have hit the bottom. You really have.
Okay.
You have hit the fucking culinary bottom of the world. that's the point in time when you sit there going, oh, I don't know, I don't know if I'm dressed well enough to go to Macca's, to McDonald's.
You wouldn't go there. It's all drive-through. Nobody goes into them anymore.
Yeah, it is. I want some deep fried cake.
I want
some deep fried anti-gay cake.
Deep fried Big Mac.
Yeah, that's what I want. Okay, well, listen, we're going to be back in a moment with our tinfoil hat from show 173. Right here on the Bill Show. Bye. We'll be back in a minute.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight.
Yes, tail end of the broadcast. It's our tinfoil hats. We leave you with a crazy, ladies and gentlemen.
Willie, I've always meant to ask you, am I Mulder or Scully?
I think I'm the old gray-haired guy.
David Duchovny. Oh, no, the cigarette-smoking man.
Not anymore. I quit.
No, but that doesn't matter. He'd still be. He didn't smoke. And he didn't smoke. The guy that was a cigarette-smoking man didn't smoke.
I know. I heard that. Yeah. He smoked those herbal cigarettes on
But he really
evidently.
Looked like he was and a terrible smoker, you know?
Oh, yeah. 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 I think I'd be the old guy.
Who's the old guy?
I feel like an older guy. I don't know. The old guy who ran around with him, the balding guy.
Okay.
You know, who was like in charge.
Oh,
he's the guy who's there going,
yeah.
Okay. Mulder and Scully, you got to follow the book. Yeah. You know, no, we're not following the book. It's a mass conspiracy of aliens. Yes, we are. You know.
But I'd still like to be Mulder or Scully.
Television
anyway.
Was great.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you got?
What have I got now? As you mentioned earlier, I don't have a tinfoil hat this week. I have a tinfoil yarmulke. Now. Seeing as it's Purim, I'll throw in my tinfoil yarmulke. Now, you know, the reason it's a tinfoil hat yarmulke is because, you know, if you want to be persecuted in religious persecution, you probably shouldn't do it to yourself because you're going to be found out. So here's a guy. Yeah. From Schenectady, and I actually went and looked for this particularly because I got to say Schenectady out loud.
Schenectady.
Schenectady, up near Glen Falls, New York. Schenectady.
Schenectady.
Yeah. And this guy from Schenectady decided to religiously persecute himself and say it was somebody else. So let's have a listen.
I have no idea what you just said.
Oi, Gewalt.
Here it is, a tinfoil yarmulke for 173. Don't be a mensch. Here you go.
Remember this right here? Last month, the Schenectady man said, come to my house, I want to show you the swastika somebody spray painted right on the outside of the home. Police investigated, ended up taking him into custody, accused of falsely reporting the crime, saying he did it. And now News 10 ABC has learned he might not even be Jewish. Anya Tucker, that's a strange story.
And I looked and I was, what the hell is going on here?
That was Andrew King during a News 10 ABC interview in February showing the messages of hate, swastika spray painted on the front of his Schenectady home. As he adjusted his yarmulke, the proud man of faith expressed deep fear.
Maybe they're going to do more than that. Maybe from spray paint and maybe trying to harm me.
But in a bizarre twist to this story, King now stands accused himself. Schenectady police say they arrested King for falsely reporting the incident, saying an investigation determined that he, in fact, spray-painted the graffiti on his own home. I wanted to get some perspective from prominent Jewish leaders here in the Capital Region. Over the phone, those who know King told me a crazy story that the devout Andrew King is not even Jewish.
Oh, that's priceless.
What a putz. What a putz.
So in the night, he becomes a white supremacist, spray paints his own house,
with swastikas,
and betrays a Jewish person complaining about somebody spray painting his house.
A bit of backstory. He has tried to convert four times. But
what?
To Judaism. So he really wants to be Jewish.
So he thought that would be a plus.
I don't know.
I spray painted swastikas in my house. Am I in? Yeah. How does that look on a resume?
Anyway, I'm sorry. Sorry to all my Jewish friends. I'm sorry.
That's hilarious.
And all my Jewish ancestors. But I thought, what an idiot.
Yeah. You got to understand something, folks. You know, I'll tell you something. Is that I don't just source stuff, and Randy doesn't just source stuff from America, but the pickings are so rich there. You think that we have crazy people? We do. We just don't have
as
major
many, as
league
many crazy
fucking crazy
people as you. Yeah.
I mean, Australia is kind of like the minor leagues in the Major League Baseball. We got Pauline Hanson, a bunch of those guys. They're kind of crazy and evidently sometimes entertaining. But if you want the real fucking deal. Yeah. You can't go past. This is even before Trump. You can't go past the U.S. of A.
USDA grade A choice insanity.
Crazy pants. Well, that certainly qualifies, and I give him gold yarmulke, ladies and gentlemen. Yarmulke, kids, come on in here. Gold yarmulke for this guy.
Great fortune raising you.
Now, as we are to Menches on a bench, and I refer to that basically as an old friend of mine said once that I would become an old Jewish man on a bench in Central Park when I was acting there. You know, that just sitting there, you and me going, I'm sicker than you. No, you're not. Shut up. You know,
what's wrong with you? I got the pain. I got the pain.
Yes, I got the pain. I got the pain. I could use an ointment. Look there.
I haven't had a piss. I'm not feeling too well. I haven't had a piss in 2 days.
Yeah.
My bladder's about to burst.
You don't talk. I always kind of like my favorite old Jewish guys are always on Law and Order. And they always play the judge. You know, you're always like in old Law and Orders, there's always the Jewish judge going, I'm too fucking tired. You know something? I have a rash. I'm feeling bad. No bail.
You know what I mean? Just pardon me. I just got to.
You know how sick I am? Fuck off.
I have to have a bit of Pepto-Bismol before I can give my judgment.
And then you had the guy
seltzer.
In the early
Can I have
one.
A little seltzer,
That's
please?
A little seltzer. You know, you had the old guy. Remember the old guy in the early Laws and Orders, Law and Orders with Jerry Orbach. And they had this old actor who's absolutely fantastic, but from the old Yiddish theater. And I swear to God, every time he was on, he was like this: I don't know what you're gonna do, but you gotta do something.
Yeah.
You gotta prosecute this guy. I wanna get a Kanish. You know, it's just like it's like they all had to meet the rabbi before.
Can you go on and get me a Kanish with mustard? I want mustard.
It was like his aide was Woody Allen. You know, like, that's all right, Judge. No problem. I can do it right away. Oh, I haven't had a hit movie in years. Yes. You know.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, it's 53 minutes, and we do come in under an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, that is show 173.
Aren't you going to do a tinfoil hat? Oh, no, we're doing all
two. No. We do one a week now. One a week, and I'll do the next week.
Okay.
Okay, I'll come up with something really crazy.
Okay.
Promise.
I can't wait.
But you're going to have to tune in.
Yeah.
To the two Menches on a bench.
If
you want to reach us.
Not tuna fish, tuna radio.
Tuna fish. Tuna radio. Anyway, you can reach us at BillShow.net.
Hooray
BillShow.net.
Captain
everything
Spalding,
BillShow
the
in one place.
Explorer. Hooray, hooray, hooray.
And, and you can sponsor us. On thebillshow.net, just hit the patron button, and if you could throw some money in the can, we sure would appreciate it. We're also available on iTunes and Podbay FM and Stitcher Radio, all those things. We'll see you next time for more.
Come to the website. That's the fun.
Yeah, go to thebillshow.net. Drop us a line. We're very lonely.
No, we're not lonely. I don't know about you. You live in the country.
I do. I sit there alone.
Hey, I'm coming down to see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, you are. You're going to come down, and we're going to investigate
your wife's birthday.
It is my wife's birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday!
All right,
to you.
Don't tell everybody they won't send presents.
Okay.
Goodbye, Val.
Well, listen,
we'll see
you next time. So long. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
From the Bill Show. Take care.
Bye.
We had the chance to turn.